And so I'd like to just say a few words about our day and about this challenging time of year. Last year I gave a little talk on this solstice day. And, you know, and it had that embedded context of COVID. And here we are a year later again, and we're still very deep in COVID, in the pandemic, and in some ways kind of deeper because it's just been longer and so many hopes have been dashed with this new variant. The solstice is such a beautiful time of year for a retreat because it's as if the world is on retreat. The earth is on retreat. So the plants are dormant. Animals are hibernating. And truth is, we should also be slowing down. There are these qualities to this time of year that can really help us. And the slowing down and the stillness that the earth is inviting us to is one of them. This time of year with its darkness, and yet we know we're at that turning point of going into the light. This is very mysterious. And so there's a feeling of we hope the light will come, but there's always a little wobbliness with that, a feeling of doubt that is, I think, kind of primordial within us as humans. And so here we sit at that turning point of the year at the solstice. And that sense of the growing darkness of the days, the physical, but also with the news being so deeply troubling, that growing darkness, all of that can really signal to us, hey, I need to just stop. I need to just stop and pay attention and see what's going on. And then when we do that on retreat, we often bump into some of our places of exile, our difficulties, our inner dark places, and that's challenging. But can we take some of the wisdom of the earth that the sun does come back and have a bit of trust with that? So we have at this time of year kind of hush that's over the world. This time of year for me always has a feeling of a bit of magic. Partly because it's dark. So there's a feeling of mystery and magic. And this can inform our practice. And if we can have that don't know mind, what will happen next? Really don't know. As opposed to that being a problem, can we take it as, oh, a place of wonderment, like the wonder of a child? We might discover some beauty and even some joy in our dark places, in our dark, the darkness of our hearts. And with that, some new life. Something may be illuminated, and we may, as we step into some joy, even find the sacred. So, I've often read this quote, Sazakis. We must break the cultural habit of sacrificing our inner lives for our outer lives, of giving up depth in deference to speed. And of course, you know, the world suggests move faster with internet and everything else. And then you add in shopping and so forth. And it's the suggestion is to keep going, go faster. And yet the earth is saying, no, The wisdom is to slow down, is to pause. And it can feel pretty scary to pause when it's dark, when there's darkness in the heart, when there's darkness externally in the physical world, when there's darkness in the news. It can feel pretty darn scary to do that. And that reminds me of the story from, you may remember this, from Lord of the Rings, when the team, the Fellowship of the Ring, they're lost in the mountain. They're lost in the mines of Moira, and they're completely, utterly in the dark. And the wizard, so he's the sage, right, the wise one, instead of panicking, he sits down and does nothing. He just pauses. And then at a certain point, after he sat for a while, he goes, oh, we'll go this way. And I forget who he was talking to. I don't think it was Frodo. I think it was one of the other characters. Not sure. He says, well, how did you know? And he said, just smells right. And so that intuitive knowing that comes from pausing, that comes from pausing. There's another part to that little moment as well, that before he knows which direction to go, actually, I think he is talking to Frodo, because Frodo says, I wish this had never happened. I wish there had never been a ring. We could think about all of our technologies. I wish there had never been all this possibility, and this had never happened. And Gandalf essentially said, you know, it's not for us to choose, you know, what we're given. It's for us to choose how we respond to it. I'm really paraphrasing it. He said it much better. And so this is so true, yes, of these times. We're in the dark. We need to pause. We need to sniff our way through. Follow our intuitive wisdom instincts. Yeah. And move on. Move on. And keep carrying our burden. So we're in a bit of a hero's journey. The whole planet, all of us humans, are on a hero's journey we never expected to have to be on. And part of the hero's journey is getting lost in the dark. Yeah, lost in the forest, in the mountain, the desert. Wendell Berry says, it may be that when we no longer know what to do, we have come to our real work. When we no longer know what to do, we have come to our real work. And when we no longer know which way to go, we have begun our real journey. The mind that is not baffled is not employed. The impeded stream is the one that sings. And T.S. Eliot suggests, he says, be still and wait without hope. For hope would be hope for the wrong thing. Wait without love, for love would be love of the wrong thing. There is yet faith, but the faith and the love are all in the waiting. The faith and the love are all in the waiting. So that implication of profound patience and mindfulness really is a practice of patience. Patience with things as they are. Not holding on tight and enduring, but actually abiding. Just here. Just here. When I was on pilgrimage in India, and our leader was profoundly ill, and we were at a train station in the middle of the night waiting for the train, and it was wild, and lots of people and rats and filth and so on, and he was so sick that he just slid down and sat on the pavement in this train station, and we were standing there, I was standing there waiting, waiting. And I said to him, I says, oh, Norman, this is waiting meditation. And he looked up at me suddenly, very vibrant. And he said, no, no, this is being. This is being. And he was so ill. And he was so present. Great moment of teaching. Can we just be with things? And so T.S. Eliot also says, so the darkness shall be the light. The darkness shall be the light. And the stillness, the dancing. We are deeply imbued in paradox right now. This is what's happening. We're really all being asked to be very mature, to go really deep within ourselves. And we've got it. We've got it. And our practice supports us in this. We're taught that this time of year, we're supposed to be happy, 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 joyful. You know, we make our wish list. We get our wishes, they come true, and if they don't, we're unhappy, 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 we're grumpy. And we can all turn into petulant children at this time of year. And we're being invited to let go of that. In the old language of Cahil Gibran, your joy is your sorrow unmasked. And the self-same well from which your laughter rises was oftentimes filled with your tears. And how else can it be? The deeper that sorrow carves into your being, the more joy you can contain. Is not the cup that holds your wine the very cup that was burned in the potter's oven? Difficult times, but faith, faith, practice, that remembering of history, other human beings, in fact, let's say all human beings have gone through very dark times. Yes, and some do not survive. Yes, yes, and it's terrible. It's terrible. There's such heartache, and there is such heartache right now. That's not to be denied. It is to be met with compassion. But what happens when we meet it with compassion, when we open to the darkness? Rilke, one moment your life is a stone in you, and the next a star. A stone to a star, and the next a star. And he counsels us. He says, I love the dark hours of my being. My mind deepens into them. There I can find, as in old letters, the days of my life already lived and held like a legend and understood. Then the knowing comes. I can open to another life that's wide and timeless. There are our instructions for this day and for this period of time. The dark hours. We are in the dark hours of the physical world and of the human world. And they are the time for pausing. He loves the dark hours because he goes in deeper. He looks at his life like old letters. We're being asked to go inward and do some examination yet again. And he sees his life held like a legend. Maybe the translation could be a myth. These are mythic times. Hopefully we all survive them and we'll be able to look back and say, yeah, I lived through that. What a trip. What a trip. And like Frodo, back to Lord of the Rings, getting lost in the wilderness later on, all by himself with just his partner, Sam, we may find our way. And like Frodo, it may very much be more about letting go of something or some things than of what we get. And what we let go of hopefully can be not only of benefit to ourselves but to others, just like in that story. That other life that's wide and timeless. So when we have that enrichment from carrying on with our hero's journey and we take it back into our lives with others, that's the completion. That's the completion. That's the boon. And we've got a few more twists and turns to go. But let's all of us just keep our eyes open to what may be being revealed in the mystery, in the darkness, in our sorrows, in our troubles. With that spirit of the adventurer, the hero on the journey. Wow, how cool. What will I discover for myself? How will it help others? How will it help all of humanity and the planet? Every piece counts. Every contribution counts. And so, again, just to finish off with Rilke, a famous quote you all know, if only we arrange our life according to the principle which counsels us that we must always hold to the difficult, then that which now still seems to us the most alien will become what we most trust and find most faithful. How should we be able to forget those ancient myths that are at the beginning of all peoples, the myths about dragons that at the last moment turn into princesses? Perhaps all the dragons of our lives are princesses who are only waiting to see us once beautiful and brave. Perhaps everything terrible is in its deepest being something helpless that wants help from us, that wants our love. So you must not be frightened. Life has not forgotten you. It holds you in its hands.